Our teaching this morning is going to be coming from Psalm 46, and I'm going to direct your attention to one verse, verse 10. Here's how the Word of God reads. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. This morning, I want us to meditate on the topic. Just us. Our Father and our God, into thy holy hands, and I'll commit this time of teaching. May thou glorify thy holy name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The knockout roses in front of my house have begun to blossom. And as I paused to admire them the other day, I realize how oblivious I have been of their peculiar beauty. While I pass by them every day, in the busyness of life, I have not taken the time, as the saying goes, to pause to smell the roses. You know, I have failed to truly appreciate the sheer beauty that surrounded me. Now, I don't have to be a prophet to know that I'm not the only one caught in this matrix. You know, in the world where we have developed a fascination for anything high speed, where we gulp down energy drinks like water in order to stay awake, the thought of slowing down for many of us is just a pipe dream. We are constantly on the go, hustling and bustling to achieve the vain glories of this life. And you don't have to really look far to see the effect of our ultra-busy lifestyle. Stress has become a common psychosis in our culture. Many are super stressed, drained physically, emotionally, and there is a great lot of mental fatigue. In addition, dysfunctionality now abounds in many of our homes because many in their busyness have neglected the priceless gift of family marriages. And then they come to a home that is filled with dysfunction. You know, unfortunately, this mentality has crept into the spiritual life of many Christians as well. And in the church. You know, while we regularly participate in church activities and serve in different ministries in our churches, which is commendable, then some of us get too busy. We get busy that we fail to slow down and truly engage the God that we're busy serving. I call this spiritual busyness. When you find a Christian who is struggling with spiritual burnout, or one that struggles to hear from God, often the reason is spiritual busyness. It's the mind preoccupied with different things that they fail to really pause to be renewed and revived in their soul. They fail to sit at the feet of Christ, to listen afresh to the Master. And unbeknownst to many of us, such spiritual busyness is counterproductive because it's playing squarely into the enemy's strategy of redundancy. You know, when the devil can't stop you from coming to church, when he can't stop you from participating in the ministry, it can put you in this state of redundancy where you constantly are engaged in ministry activities and keep going and going and going and going, and you're spinning your wheels, but you're not going anywhere. You're unfruitful because you're not pausing to be still, to be renewed and revived by God. Now, the Bible is not oblivious of this subtle danger. That is why we are constantly exalted through real life examples and instructions of the importance of being still. The story of Elijah the Tishbite, a prophet who God used mightily during one of the darkest seasons in the history of the nation of Israel, during the reign of Ahab and Jezebel, and the worship of Baal and the idol gods. Elijah rose and he challenged and gained victory for God against the prophet of Baal. But then he got so busy working for God that I believe he got burned out and became despondent. And in 1 Kings 19, he takes off after Jezebel threatened his life. And he ran and sat under a juniper tree and requested from God. He said, "I'm not better than my fathers. Take my life." Elijah the prophet has hit the state of despondency. He was burned out as a prophet. But what would be God's response to this? God will later invite Elijah to a mountain alone. And in that quietness of that mountain, with a still small voice, God will help Elijah realign his focus by letting him understand that the battle actually belongs to him, God. And the psalmist will eloquently highlight the importance of being still when he wrote in Psalm 46 and 10, he said, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth." So this morning, using Psalm 46:10 as a springboard, I want to explore this elusive spiritual discipline, one that many don't even consider as a spiritual discipline, the discipline of being still. What exactly does it mean to be still? And how can I incorporate this discipline into my walk of faith? These two questions this morning will form the basis of my teaching. So let's begin with the definition. What exactly does it mean to be still? Well, before I answer that, I want to reverse that definition. What does it not mean to be still? Being still does not mean idleness. Idleness is the lack of the engagement of the mind in anything meaningful, which is often a pretext for temptation. As the saying goes, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. In essence, just chilling on your lazy chair and staring into space, or playing a game on your cell phone, or strolling to your Facebook page is not being still. Standing stationary and just doing nothing is not being still. It is idleness, borderline laziness. And quite frankly, that is how many of us spend our pastime. So then, what does it mean to be still? Let's go to the grammatical makeup of this word as it is used in Psalm 46 and 10. The Hebrew word that is translated still is the word rapha, which can mean to slacken, to let go, or to cease. Again, I want you to pay attention to that grammatical lexiconia word. To slacken, to let go, or to cease. In essence, to be still means to rest in God by relinquishing into His sovereign hands the cares of your life. Let me say that again so they can write it down. To be still means to rest in God by relinquishing into his sovereign hands the keys of your life. Two verbs are key in that definition. The first one is rest, and the second one is relinquish. To rest is usually an action of the heart. It's an action that has to take place in your heart. It is the unwavering conviction, unwavering confidence in the personhood of God. That is how you rest. That you understand that God is trustworthy, that God is faithful, that God will always see you through. That is the concept of rest. To relinquish, on the other hand, is the action of the mind. It is turning over your anxious thoughts and cares into the hands of God. David will put this well in Psalm 37 and verse 7. He said, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prosper in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. You know, it is when you rest in God and relinquish everything into his hand that your soul will constantly be renewed. As such, spiritual burnout will knock on your door. If Elijah had rested in the Lord and relinquished his anxious thought of Jezebel seeking his life into the sovereign hands of God, Elijah would have walked away bold, courageous, because he understood that God was his strength. But that wasn't Elijah's option. That was his choice, rather. He chose, rather, to run. Again, it is when you rest and relinquish everything into the hands of God that you will truly be in communion with God. That is where you can hear very clearly when God is speaking, because guess what? Your heart and your mind are now in a position to be able to receive and to be at a place of peace where you can now be in that blessed quietness that God can now minister and restore and renew your souls. So again, when we begin to look at the notion of being still, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're just in a solitude. It means that you are in a state, your mind, your heart is in a state where you are in complete peace and you can be focused upon God and his truth and his power. So let's flip the strip then. How can we now incorporate this discipline of being still into our own walk of faith? Well, let me put it differently. How can I practice walking in stillness? Well, I got three ways for you this morning that are pretty pragmatic, spiritually pragmatic ways that you can actually begin to do now to experience that stillness that we're called to. First of all, you have to be conscious of the presence of God in every circumstance and situation of life. Let me repeat that. You have to be conscious of the presence of God in every circumstances or situations of life. The Apostle Paul was in prison when he penned the epistle to the church at Philippi, which we know today as Philippians. And in chapter 4, he writes to this church. And chapter 4, beginning at verse 4, he says this. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Here was the Apostle Paul incarcerated in one of the most deplorable, inhumane places that you can ever imagine. And in this very inhumane condition, the Apostle Paul would now pick up a pen and write to this church to rejoice. The reason the Apostle Paul could maintain such composure of stillness, of peace, and this attitude of joy in the midst of this dire situation that was in was because of one single phrase in verse 5, "The Lord is near." The Apostle Paul understood that though he was incarcerated, yet the Lord is near. This is the pivotal foundation you need in order for you to be still. You have to understand that the Lord is near. You have to understand that though I can pay my bills, though my health is failing, though my kids are not acting right, though my marriage might be failing, but the Lord is near. Because the Lord is near, your mind can now be at peace, your mind can be at rest, and you can now experience that stillness, that you can be unmovable because you know that God is not far off from you. The presence of God is the pivotal foundation that is needed for you to be able to practice the discipline of being still. That is why in Psalm 46 and 10, the Lord said, "Be still and know that I am God. Know that I'm present. Know that I'm God. I've never left you nor forsaken you." And if there is a message that each one of us need to hear in this stressed out culture, stressed out world, is the presence of God in your life as a believer. You are never alone. That is why you can walk in this stillness. You can walk in this peace. You can walk in this mindset that you at rest. Because God is with you. And if God be with you, who can be against you? If God justified you, who can condemn you? It's the presence, the conscious understanding of the presence of God is the pivotal foundation upon which you can stand and be at still. There's a second one here. To be able to practice the discipline of being still, you have to be resigned to the will of God. You have to be resigned to the will of God. On the night the Lord Jesus would be arrested, he took the remaining 11 disciples to a garden called Gethsemane. And there he left 8 down and told 3 to walk with him a little further, Peter, James, and John. And the Lord Jesus discloses, said, "My soul is extremely grieved to the point of death." He said, "Well, stay here and watch with me, pray with me." And we're told that the Lord Jesus went a little bit further. And though we know that he prayed for a substantial amount of time, but the gospel writers actually identified a sentence in that prayer that today has been immortalized in many of our minds. And this can be found in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Here the Lord Jesus prayed and said, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as thou will." I want you to see what the Lord Jesus is saying here. Here was the cup. Cup of the wrath of God, the sin of humanity was going to be placed on one man. It would be the atoning sacrifice for the sin of the body of humanity. And the witness of this soon to come atonement in that witness the Lord Jesus said, Father, if it's possible that this cup should pass from me, he said, but not as I will, but as thou will. The Lord Jesus resigned to the will of God. I believe this is an example for us to understand what it means to experience stillness. You know, at times the stress of life arises because we try to find a way to go through life and every door seems to shut in our face. We seek doors, we seek opportunities and we can't find it. Things happen and we get frustrated and we get stressed and we become discombobulated and we lose sight of who God is. We lose sight of his presence and we find we seek ways to want to fix things, to make things right. But that continuously leads us astray. But it comes a time when you got to understand that after you've done all that you can, you stand. The point of standing, the point of saying, not my will, but your will, is to resign to the will of God, to understand that Father knows best. That the door that you're seeking, the door that God might close one door so that he can point you in a different direction to go a different way. That God might actually shut a door because he wants to redirect you to a greener pasture that you are not actually seeing. That is why as a believer, in order to experience the stillness, to walk in this discipline of stillness, you have to learn how to be resigned to the will of God. The will of God far, far much richer, far, far much better than what you want for yourself. What God wants for your life, what God desires for you, what God has got in store for you is far richer, far, far better than what you can conceive as you desire your own will. But you must learn to resign. And when you are resigned to the will of God, see the peace, see the stillness that will be in your soul. Because you know now that my life is in the grip of his grace. And when my life is in the grip of God's grace, that's the best place you can ever be. There's a final thought and final point this morning. In order to walk in stillness or practice this discipline of being still, you have to be committed to spiritual growth. The Lord Jesus, teaching in John's Gospel, chapter 15, reminds his disciples, beginning at verse 5, he said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, this is interesting because the Lord Jesus is identifying himself here to us as the only true source of spiritual nutrient. That for us to experience spiritual growth, we must be connected to him. But here is the deal. When we stay connected to Christ, part of the spiritual nutrient that we get from Christ is that sense of assurance, is that sense of peace, is that sense that, listen, it is going to be well. Because God supplies it through the enablement of his spirit. It is that peace that surpasses all understanding. It is that mindset that no matter what this world might bring my way, that I will experience that notion of the presence of God. This point of committing to spiritual growth, you got to commit to staying attached to that vine. You have to commit to staying attached to that nutrient, that source of spiritual nutrient, so that you can continue to experience that notion of peace, that notion of joy, that notion of that unspeakable fruit of the Spirit that is described for us in Galatians. It comes when we stay connected and begin to experience that spiritual growth, begin to experience that spiritual growth that constantly reminds us of the presence of God, reminds us of His ways, reminds us of His truth, reminds us that it is well with our soul, reminds us that there is no issue that this life can bring that God cannot give us the grace to stand and to pass through. These three key things are essential for you as a believer to be able to practice this discipline of being still. I tender to you this morning, my love, my brothers and sisters, that God desires you and I to be still. And we must strive constantly to live within that discipline of being still. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning we do give thanks for the mercy, the grace that was bestowed upon us. Father, may thou now continue to illumine our minds that we can understand even deeper the oracles of thy truth. Bless and I pray the declaration of thy word. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.